It's chapter 8, and we'll read the verses 31 to 36. And also tied in with that is the letter of James, chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. But we'll read first the Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Word of God, where it says from verse 31, "To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?' Jesus replied, 'I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" So let's move on towards the end of the scriptures and turn to the letter of James. Chapter 1, and we'll take up the reading from verse 19. "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Ray, please come forward.
Let me just tell you that I woke up in a bit of a sweat this morning, and I had just had a little dream that I had forgotten my script. It must have been because it did happen to me a couple of months ago. I was on my way to Gosford, where I was preaching then, and just as I arrived at the church, I realized, oh my goodness, I haven't even got my Bible with me on my script. Anyway, I managed to get through two-thirds of the sermon, and one of the elders noticed that I was drawing a blank. And he came straight up, and he did the prayed hard and loud and hard again. And by the time he finished, I remembered the rest of the sermon, and so we got through. So we're celebrating freedom in Christ. Lotto suggests that we buy a ticket to freedom. But what will it look like when we get there? Imagine in a high school classroom with the teacher suddenly gone out of the room. The scene is likely to be one of chaos in very quick time. If I asked young people to describe freedom, many of them would say, "That's it. Freedom is what you enjoy when the kids are gone and the teacher is out of the room." Yeah. When it comes to the crunch, though, we don't really enjoy that sort of freedom. Freedom to do your own thing is a very mixed blessing. If there's anything as much sung about as love, it's freedom. It's the cry of the 21st century, and it says, I'm free to do whatever I want, whatever I choose. Well, that sounds fine, but of course it's ridiculous, because we really can't do everything that we want. Many people think that freedom is living as though God is not around. He's out of the room. We're free to do anything we like. Well, almost anything. But if that is freedom for you, then you better make the most of it before you die, because after that, God will call you to account. So what is this thing called freedom? Well, you don't have to argue in favor of it. It's obviously good. Freedom of speech, freedom of information. Put freedom in the title, and you've got people listening. The truth is, though, that our society and ourselves are just as bound by slavery as we ever were. Slavery hasn't gone away, only the outward forms have changed. Jesus spoke to the Jews about freedom. We saw that in that passage. If they would hold to his teaching, they would know the truth, and that truth would set them free. And Jesus strongly implied that they were not free. So it was because of that they shot straight back at him. Jesus, we don't know what you're talking about. We are Abraham's descendants. We are God's special people who made a special agreement. If there were ever a people free, it's us, the Jews. But freedom means different things in different settings. If we had mentioned freedom to the average Aussie 200 years ago, that would have meant something very important to them, because the average Aussie was a convict. If I talk to a prisoner about freedom, I scratch where he itches. But for me to say to young people today, you need to be set free, would seem absurd. You're not living in a penal colony. You're not in prison. So I can well imagine you ask me, what do you mean set free? We've always been free. Well, that's exactly what the Jews said to Jesus. We are free. But were they really? They said, we've never been slaves of anyone. But right there in Jerusalem, Roman soldiers were parading the streets, probably watching them as they spoke. Is that being free? What about the rest of their history? They spent 70 years in exile in Babylon. And what about the terrible years of slavery in Egypt under Pharaoh? How could they possibly say, we've never been slaves of anyone? But Jesus wasn't talking about freedom on a physical or national level. And they seem to have understood that. Of course they knew their nation wasn't free. They weren't blind. They could see those Roman soldiers. And of course they hadn't forgotten about Babylon and about Egypt. They knew their history. But the freedom the Bible talks about is not, first of all, freedom from tyrants or dictators, or escape from a penal colony, or freedom from a prison. No, I believe these folks were thinking of a different freedom, on another level. One that you cannot tie down, one that you cannot imprison. Freedom of spirit. There is such a thing as liberty of spirit. I can give you many examples of that. Paul and Silas was in prison in Acts 16. Their feet were in the stocks, yet they were singing praises to God in the middle of the night. John Huss was betrayed and imprisoned, and then he was tied to a stake to die for his faith. But John Huss sang as the flame burned his body. Physically bound, but spiritually free. And now these Jewish leaders claimed that they were like that. And that's why they were so indignant with Jesus. How dare he suggest that they needed to be set free? Sorry, Jesus, but what you're saying now, that's irrelevant. If ever there were a free people, free in spirit, then it's God's chosen people. That's why we Jews have always pulled through. But now that leaves us with the big question. How relevant are these words of Jesus for us? Freedom remains a desperately longed for, yet unreachable ideal. Freedom is very hard to define. Yet this text tells us that we need to be set free. That may sound even more ridiculous to you than what it did to those Jews. We are free. We who live in the land of Oz have never been slaves of anyone. Oh, okay, we were a penal colony once, but that shaped our spirits. That made us who we are. Strong people. Australians in the 21st century don't have to be set free. They are free. And we've never been more free. And we enjoy our freedom. Freedom to enjoy the many pleasures of life in the land of the long weekend. Coming up next week, is it not? And if Jesus wants to include freedom of spirit, then surely we're free there too. We can choose freedom to worship God as we choose. Free to be part of a youth group and enjoy its activities. And parents enjoy those freedoms too. Free to enjoy the activities of God's people and be part of it all. Yes, and free to raise their kids in a Christian way. Free to send them to Christian schools. Never have people been as free as they are today. So what is Jesus on about? What does he mean when he says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free? Well, Jesus explains what he means in verse 34. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So, do you sin? What? Everyone? Everyone sins? Well, then aren't we all slaves? Well, when Jesus says that those who sin are slaves to sin, he doesn't mean that anyone who falls into a sin of some sort becomes a slave. No, but those who practice sin lose their freedom. They're no longer free. Think of the addict who can no live along with his addiction. The druggie is a slave to her addiction. She's no longer free. The alcoholic is no longer free. He's enslaved to the bottle. The kleptomaniac is no longer free. She is a slave to the urge to steal. Today we live in a free land and enjoy a great deal of liberty. But not everyone is free. Many are slaves to their passions. And everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So this message is a little bit more relevant than we first thought. We still need to hear it. You need to be set free. Now I want to take this one step further and ask, what is sin anyway? It's easy to point the finger at the addict, the prostitute, and the kleptomaniac. They're the ones that are not free. They're still addicted to the drugs and the shoplifting and sex and so on. A lifestyle like that is a trap that you can't get out of. Those people are not free. But me, thank God I am not like that. I'm free. But let's be a little bit more honest with ourselves. Let's admit that slavery goes a lot deeper than these blatant addictions. Habits can become slavery too. And we've all got some bad habits. They can become a slavery which are hard to break, much as we try. Some of you are slaves to a sharp tongue, perhaps, always snapping at each other. Others are slaves to your anger. You'd like to be free from it, but you're not. And still others have tried for years to be set free from their lusts. And what about materialism? How much of your life is controlled by dollars and cents? You've always got to have the latest and the best to keep up with your mates. And that's not just a problem for young people only. Many have mortgaged themselves to the hilt to keep up with the Joneses. Helplessly caught on a treadmill of spending, earning more money and spending more money to buy stuff. Filling our homes with 101 things that we really don't need. And then we still like to think that we are free. There are times when life becomes a rat race. Yes, freedom seems a hopeless illusion. And perhaps the worst slavery is the rat race of trying to stay on the right side of God. We know we need to live better lives than we do, but somehow we can't. So these words of Jesus are not just for addicts and alcoholics. They're also for us. That is because too often our freedom is the wrong kind of freedom, like the freedom that the young people abuse when the teacher is out of the room. I'm going to do as I please and do what I want. No one tells me what to do with my life. This is the only life I have, and I intend to make the most of it. And God, well, I'll worry about him when I get old. Friends, how much of your daily life is lived as though if God is not around? The Greek philosopher Socrates once said, "How can you call a man free when his pleasures rule his life?" And that's the crunch, isn't it? We're often slaves to self, to our own pleasures and passions. From the Bible's point of view, that's exactly what sin is. It isn't just doing those things that reach the headlines, like murder and rape and violence and so on. No, sin is me doing my own thing, acting as if God is out of the room. Sin is me doing what I want instead of what God wants. Self-centeredness is a slavery that can overwhelm us, but it is one from which Jesus Christ can set us free. Let me come back once more to that classroom with the teacher gone. Just imagine all those kids doing their own thing. But how much productive work is being done? That's just the point, isn't it? What are those young people there for? For learning, for study, for doing the work so they can pass their exams. The point is that what prevents these students from learning, what hinders their goals, that is not true freedom. I'm not saying there's no room for fun and games, for excitement, relaxation and enjoyment and so on. But our great, great goal in life is to be the kind of people God wants us to be. And God does not want us to be slaves. He wants us to be his children. Slaves, says Jesus, don't really have a permanent place in the home. A slave can get the boot any time they don't measure up. Only sons and daughters have a permanent place in the home. They belong forever. And then Jesus takes that image of a son and applies that to himself. He is that son who belongs to the house forever. Jesus is the only one who was ever totally free. Nothing of a slave in him at all. He was all that God meant him to be. He did all that God gave him to do. No selfishness in him. He never acted once as if God was out of the room. He was the perfect son that we were meant to be. And because he is the perfect son, he is able to set us free. And Jesus did precisely that by his death and resurrection. He broke that enslaving power of sin, and he continues breaking on that power of sin more and more every day. When Jesus bought us freedom by paying the purchasing price of death on the cross, he bought us the opportunity to break with the pattern of this world, to take our place in God's created order, to live as we were always meant to live. Real freedom only comes when Jesus makes you part of God's family, as he changes you from a slave to sin into a child of God. So, are you tired of being a slave to sin? Do you want to enjoy real freedom? You can. Jesus can make the difference. You want to know how that happens? Read again the opening words of our text. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the gospel. This is freedom. Enjoy and celebrate that freedom, the freedom we have in Christ. You are free to be God-centered. That means put Jesus, who's all about life, all about freedom, first in your life. Hold on to the teachings of Jesus. Obey the truth of his word. Then you'll be the child of God that he wants you to be. And you'll discover what a wonderful thing it is to be really free. Amen.